Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, my name is Rhian Leo Jameson. I'm from the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, and I'm Margaret Hask. I'm from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
And I think we're here to talk about homeschooling and libraries.
Right, right. So what has your experience been?
Over the years, we've had dedicated homeschooling groups come, and we've had programs, and then it seems to be more migrating towards now where individual parents or small groups that are already kind of together will come in and either participate in programs or just come for the socialization at an early program.
Right. We certainly would like to have more participation with the homeschooled children in the mm-hmm. library. We've made a few outreach efforts. For a while, we had a Lego club going that had been requested by homeschool parents during it was the event was during the day, so that kids could meet at the library. And we have, I'm sure you do too, an immense number of Legos in the library, and we put these out. It was great for the kids; they really enjoyed it. But it kind of, it kind of drifted away, and nothing has really moved in to take their place. Although we would love to have them in the library more often.
Yeah, and I know we've always kind of struggled to communicate kind of like the different needs of the different groups, because every time there's a new wave of homeschoolers coming through, they always seem to have, there's always different needs and, different things they need help with. So it's always kind of, throwing darts at a board.
Right, right. I think we do have a lot of homeschool kids participating in our programs. I hope we do. I don't actually keep mm-hmm. numbers on that, but I believe that is the case. And I did establish a special patron category for homeschoolers, because I had one family who, I think they had six children, and they borrowed so many books. They would have 50 or 60 books out at a time. But the mother who was doing the homeschooling would go online and research and request, like I said, 50 books maybe, from the whole library system in Connecticut. And we do have a limit on the number of books a person can take out, so I had to make a special category so she could take out 50 books at a time, which was great. Wow. We loved it.
Yeah.
And so that's one nice thing that happens with the homeschooler in the Cornwall Library.
Yeah. We usually do get, it's always fun because we have a good connection with our local school district, so we always have kids coming in on the late bus for different programs. So we can always tell, like, oh, you're not one of that group. Mm-hmm. You must be one of the homeschoolers. So it's socialization seems to be one of the big things that they're looking for in our community. But I'm always kind of like try to encourage them to, be able to communicate with us and tell us what they're looking for, because, we can help them find books that are in alignment with their current topic that they're teaching, but they may not be on, lists online that are still very good books that kind of under the radar.
Right.
And our, museum passes and different kits that we have may already, be aligned with what they're doing and be able to help them out a little bit.
Yeah, we have a lot of resources that we can make available to them, and they're not all immediately available. If you just go on our website, you might not see mm-hmm. that they're there, but we do have, and we're willing to go the extra mile, for these kids as well. We'd love to, do some research for them and bring in what they want. So all they have to do is ask. If anybody's
yeah.
listening, we'd really like to help out. It would be great.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a lot of people sometimes, especially in that community, may think of the libraries back when they were kids. And I know, like, my perspective, that I always felt like I was being told no more than I was being told yes when I visited
yeah.
the library.
Yeah.
And it's a different world now.
It is a very different world. In fact, our policy is we always try to say yes. Whatever request is made, we try to say yes to all of them. Can't always do it, but we do try.
No, and we, if we can, we try to find something, a reasonable substitute or direct them to somewhere that could help them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of resources in the library for everybody. What programs do you have coming up? Now we're in spring finally, and the weather's improving a little bit. Do you have any nice programs coming up?
Yeah, we're very excited, and since it's Earth Day, we're going very heavily into nature programming. So we have a special Eco Story Hour on April 18th. Of course, a celebration of Earth Day. It's going to be stories about natural waste and recycling. So it's a story hour based on poop.
Oh, there you go.
And don't worry, it's not going to be everybody's poops. That lovely book that we all had to read at some point in life.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other fun books that just have, general theme that had all of us laughing. So we're like, we should do a story hour about this.
That sounds great.
And that's at 11:15. Then we have on the same day, April 18th at 1 o'clock, Common Insects and Diseases Found in Gardens and Landscapes for the grown-ups. There's a lot of new insects in our area that are causing harms to trees and may cause them to decline or die. And this workshop's going to help you identify them and different diseases that might be affecting your plant and help deter them from happening.
That sounds wonderful. Sounds really helpful for local people.
Yeah, I'm excited. I hope we have a nice turnout. We mistakenly planned this originally on Easter and realized too late, so we had to reschedule.
Yeah, I know. Your calendars. Yeah.
Every once in a while, we don't put the holiday, pop-up holidays on our calendar, and I'm like, oh, no. We're again hosting the Millerton Repair Cafe on April 25th. And that's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in our annex. And I don't know if you're familiar with repair cafes, but
I think I remember.
It's a free meeting where visitors can bring in their broken items, and we have experts or local experts there to help you repair them and teach you how to fix them for future repairs. So it's really exciting. We did one, and we hosted one in October. And we had over 50 people come through.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
wow.
Yeah.
And what kind of things do they bring in? Like bicycles or?
Bicycles. We have someone repairing bicycles. We have electrical repair. They have a knife sharpener. I know they also have textile repair. So they have someone who can, sew and crochet and knit there to help you. If you have a button fall off and you don't know how to fix it, they can help you with that or put on a patch. I know they're hoping to have jewelry repair. I don't know if they've found someone to do it because they had a little scheduling snafu on that. But I know they had a lamp repair. It's an amazing group of people who have, a talent that you don't see as often anymore. So it's a great way to pass on, get your things fixed and learn how to do it too.
Right. And that's good for the environment too when you're, when you're thinking about it being, Earth Day that, we're not going to throw everything out, but we'll fix it and learn how to fix it.
Yeah. And it's, it's nice to learn something that you can really apply and really make things better for you and save you money.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, and we have one more exciting new program in April. starting April 25th, we have a 4-session workshop for Intro to Spanish for ages 5 to 7.
Interesting.
Yeah, we have someone who works with children, and they're going to be teaching them the basic Spanish. And it's going to be songs and movement, physical activity. So it's going to be kind of story hour-ish, but also learning a new language.
That sounds terrific. And that's four sessions?
That's going to be 4 sessions at 10 a.m. on Saturday, starting April 25th. We do ask that you register ahead of time. Just so, because space is going to be very limited, because only so many people that she could teach at one time, especially in that age range.
Right, yes. Yeah.
But it's going to be a really fun time.
That's a lot. That's a lot going on.
Yeah. I originally thought all of our programs were at the beginning of the month, and I was like, oh, no. No, we have lots.
Lots, right, yeah. We have an author talk coming up on the 18th. Anne Whiteside, who's from Cornwall and New York, wrote a book called The Moon and Splinters. It's about her uncle, who was a British spy in the French Resistance. And this was something the family had known, but nobody was really talking about. She spent 10 years researching her uncle to find out what he really did and what happened to him. And the result is this book called The Moon and Splinters, as I said. And so she's going to talk about that book with Greg Galloway, who's also from Cornwall, and he's a novelist. And they're just going to talk about this experience and this very interesting uncle of hers. And then on the 25th, since April is Poetry Month, we are having a poetry event. There's a poet named William Stanley Merwin, who's a very renowned poet. He was poet laureate 1 year, and he won, I think, 2 Pulitzer Prizes and a lot of other really outstanding poetry awards. And so we have 2 people talking about him. John Burnham Schwartz, he's the poet's stepson, and Robert Becker, who's on our board, and he's the former president of the Merwin Conservancy on Maui. And so they will talk about the poet and read some of his poetry. And so that should be a really nice poetry event at the library. And that one is April 25th at 5 o'clock. And the Whiteside Talk is April 18th at also at 5 o'clock. And then we have a lot of things in May, but the main thing is we have our used book sale in May, where we put out hundreds and hundreds of books for, you know, $2 or $3 each, and it's really fun because it's you know, usually the weather has warmed up and people are eager to get out and see each other, so it's very community oriented. You see a lot of people you haven't seen in, you know, in months, and you know, everybody's there and you know, collecting their summer reading. It's a very, very fun event. It lasts 3 days over Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that, yeah.
That's our big book sale kickoff as well, but we only do it on Saturday.
Do you do it more than one Saturday, or how often do you do book sales?
We do it every Saturday from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And
we have
a dedicated... in the annex, or where is that?
Yep, it's in the annex. We have a dedicated room, so it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It's usually a smaller cell with lots of turnover.
Right. Our book sale just takes over the library for, you know, for a week and a half while we set it up and then have the sale. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It sounds like fun. I've always wanted to have a really big book sale.
Yeah, it is fun, yeah. It's very social. And then we do have some other things, but we'll be talking again pretty soon, so I'll save those announcements for the next time we talk.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay, I think we're just about up on our time.
Okay, well, it's nice talking to you.
Thank you. It's nice talking to you, too.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.